a land.
You tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM. This is the Community Hour, and I'm Pete Dane. Now, it's been estimated that during the First World War, 9 million combatants lost their lives. A terrible toll by any reckoning. But lost inside these statistics like this, there are stories of ordinary people who found themselves living in, the most appalling conditions, faced with, the most unimaginable brutality of war. Survivors of the conflict, they've all grown old and faded away. But in other ways, their stories live on. The West End Battalion was made up of local young men who'd signed up to fight in the Great War, included people who played for West Ham United. In the studio today, we've got someone who spent the last few years researching into this neglected part of our local history. We're joined now live in the studio by Elliot Taylor, author of Up the Hammers. Elliot, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM.
Thank you for inviting me.
Right, how did you first get involved in all this? The West Ham and the First World War, how did you get involved in all this?
Well, like many people, there was a photograph in the family house of my great-granddad, but no one knew anything about him. Where he served, who he served with, that sort of stuff.
And he was in like uniform, yeah?
He was in uniform. Yeah. He was dressed in the uniform he died in fact.
Okay.
So it was the last photograph ever taken of him. And I decided to research him and was stunned, really, when I found that he was a member of the Essex Regiment, but in the West Ham Battalion, and he'd volunteered. And being a West Ham fan myself, I found that quite spooky.
Okay. So that drew you into it. But how did you find out about things like this? Where did you have to go to?
To the National Archives. They've got medal index cards where all the medals that were given to individual soldiers. So you have to trace, find the battalion that they served in, where they, a lot of people, there's a difference between people who were conscripted, which happened later on in the war. At the very start of the war, lots of people volunteered, and they weren't all young. That's the other incredible thing. My great-granddad was 40.
Right, okay.
When he volunteered, half the battalion were over 35 years old.
Okay, so they weren't these young men going.
All young men. There were some underage ones. There was a 15-year-old.
Right, yeah, you always hear these stories of people who lied about their age to go and join and things like that.
Yep.
Okay, and so, were you able to trace about where they went and they travelled? Because they went all around Europe, presumably, I don't know.
Yep, well, they went over to France in November 1915. And at the National Archives, you can find the war diaries for all the battalions that served. So it really was just a case of reading that war diary and seeing this, horrendous time that they had over the 4-year period.
Okay. And eventually the battalion, what happened to them in the end?
In the end, they were disbanded. They were disbanded before the end of the war. Mm. February 1918, they were disbanded, and all the men were sent to other units.
Yeah.
So the unit was just broken up.
Yeah. Really. So what's actually the connection though with West Ham United Football Club and things like that? What's the connection?
Well, when I discovered that my great-granddad served with them, the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to find the memorial. I presumed that it would be a memorial to the West Ham Battalion somewhere in the local area. Mm. They never got a memorial. So I determined to get one put up, basically.
Good for you, yeah.
And I approached West Ham United to see if they would host the memorial for me, really. They were very, very good, and they said that they would. I then approached the local undertaker, who provided for free all of the stone and had it engraved for me. The local undertakers, H.L. Hawes, they've been in the area for about 160 years. And they were very, very kind to me to give that all for free. And then in 2009, Sir Trevor Brookin unveiled it. We had the Royal Anglian Regiment there as an honour guard, because that's when the Essex Regiment itself was completely disbanded. They became the Royal Anglian Regiment.
So. And where is this memorial?
The memorial is right by the club shop. Okay. Right at the entrance of the ground. Yeah. One of the most important things for me was that it had to be in a public area, so that people could go there.
Rather than in all the offices or in a boardroom or whatever West Ham's, where ordinary people can go and see it.
That's it.
So that's in many ways what it was all about.
You can just walk up and you can have a look at it and lay a wreath. We lay a wreath there every November. Try to get something organised for the nearest home game. And as I say, they've been very good. They've been very good to me.
And there was actually some West Ham players involved in this as well, wasn't there?
There weren't any West Ham players in the West Ham battalion, but the West Ham battalion served alongside a battalion of the Middlesex Regiment, which was formed by football players, professional football players.
Really?
Yep. They all volunteered, including the entire first team and backroom staff of Clapton Orient, which became Leighton Orient.
Oh, we did a feature on them just a couple of weeks ago.
The entire first team, they all volunteered, and I think about half of them never came back.
Right.
And obviously there are others there who lost, legs, never to play the game again. Yeah. Within their ranks, there was the West Ham goalkeeper, Bob Whiting. He was killed, unfortunately, on the 28th of April. He was killed alongside the West Ham battalion. So,
a lot of. During the First World War, particularly, it was an appalling situation with people just coming out of trenches and just, you can't imagine, what was going on.
You
see films and things, but actually,
Doesn't sum it up. No, yeah. And also for the fact that a lot of the guys were a lot older. People were suffering from such things as rheumatism.
That's right. Because there was always that thing, wasn't there? I mean, when they actually conscripted people in, they realised just how bad health a lot of the population, general population, was. It was one of the things which actually found out that was quite shocking, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, was it true that they used to practice and things like when the battalion was formed, they used to sort of like practice around either Wanstead Flats?
They marched outside of our window now.
Well, down the Romford Road?
Down the Romford Road.
Wow.
I've got photographs in the book of them marching around Stratford.
Yeah.
They did their route marches up to Walthamstow.
This is when there was also like training or something, was it?
Yeah, they were formed. The mayor of West Ham, he's the man who's responsible for raising them.
Yeah.
That was in December 1914. So right at the very end of December, he raised the battalion. And over 1,000 men then came flooding into the ranks by about February or March of 1915. Then they had their period of training just in the local area over Wanstead Flats.
So what are they doing? They're running around with rifles and things over Wanstead Flats?
Didn't even have uniforms then.
What was that? How could they be in the army and not have a uniform or a rifle? How did that work?
Well, really, I mean, they had to learn the basics of drill.
Yeah.
How to march in step and all of those sort of things and how to salute. And slowly but surely, the uniforms came, then the rifles came. They left the borough in May of 1915 and then did their advanced infantry training. So they ended up at Salisbury Plain, along with many, many thousands. I mean, 30,000 people at Clipstone Camp up in Mansfield, where they were doing their initial training. And then they got on a boat in November 1915 on the Princess Victoria and sailed over to France.
Right. And into the war. And I mean, how many of them came back? What was the story there?
There was one particular
battle, wasn't there? That was...
They did have some very hard times. Many of them were killed at Delville Wood, which was one of their first big engagements. Defending Delville Wood against German counterattacks. So there were very many there. Then they had an attack on Beaumont Hamel, which killed quite a few. By the end of the war, they had a reunion, and there were 400 of them there, and that's out of just over 1,000.
Yeah.
So you're talking about, I mean, I've worked it out very, very roughly that about a quarter of them were killed outright. Half of them were killed outright. A quarter of them lost limbs and, arms, legs, all of that sort of thing. Shell shock sent completely mad. Yeah. And about a quarter of them came back. But obviously they also had those wounds inside.
All sorts of issues there as well. And of course, and back in those days, there was no sort of thing like counselling and things like that. It was just get on with it, wasn't it?
It really was.
You
know, it really
get back
was.
On with it and stop you, you know, what you're moaning about and things like that. Okay.
That's right.
Let's also do something about, there was some, when they were practising, there were some riots on Green Street or something.
That was in May 1915. So as they were, there was a ship called the Lusitania was sunk by a German submarine, and there were very many women and children on that. And
because it was just a civilian boat, wasn't it?
It was very shocking at the time, wasn't it? That's right.
Yeah,
and the shock really led to riots that were all aimed against German-owned businesses. There were quite a few Germans living around here. 2% of the borough at that time were foreign-born.
Right, okay.
And many people, normally bakers, quite a lot of German bakers, and their shops just got torn to bits, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, the riots were very bad. But then back in those days, a lot of the people, they blamed their children.
So nothing's changed there.
It was all blamed on the kids. But you know, I did find one chap who was living. He was down Green Street, Mr. Schaumloffel. They raided his shop. Stole all of his flour. They stole his curtains. They stole his cutlery, and this poor chap had two sons who were already fighting.
Right. Okay.
In France,
on the British
one of them
side.
Had just lost an arm.
Right.
And then to have his house, you know, raided in that way, he immediately changed his surname.
Yes.
From Schaumloffel and became Mr. Boreham.
Yeah.
A lot of people did that.
Yeah, even the royal family did that, didn't they?
Even the royal family did that. And there was a
German connection, wasn't
there? There was a number of German heritage soldiers in the battalion as well. Mm-hmm. Ernie Kurtz, who was the battalion tailor. There was the doctor, the medical officer, was a local GP from Siebert Road, Dr. Holthusen. He enlisted with his brother, Lenny Holthusen, who was the signals officer. I found a good handful of chaps who were German heritage, but they were very, very eager back then to prove their loyalty to their
country. So they wanted to go out and show we are British, and
they did,
things like
even though they knew that if they were captured, they would have been given a very hard time by the Germans.
Now, you started off by sort of like saying, you know, there was this family picture and things. Have you ever been to the grave, or do you know anything about
that? That was one of the first things I wanted to do. Yeah, was to go over. And I'm very fortunate in as much as he has got a grave.
Okay,
there are millions of men who we have no idea, they're just gone.
Yeah,
they're in the mud. They're still out there.
Mm.
We don't know what happened. So that was a very poignant moment. Walking over in this graveyard, and at that time I was literally just looking at my great granddad's grave. I didn't realise that the chaps buried alongside him were more than likely his friends.
Mm. And whereabouts was this? It's in France.
This is in Loos, which is just south of Calais.
Okay.
It's just takes about 40 minutes to get down there. But that was a very, very poignant morning, and I did it on the day of his death. He was killed on the 27th of April in 1916, and I got over there on the 27th of April in 2009.
Okay.
Laid a wreath.
Okay.
You know, said your thanks. Very poignant.
Yeah. Okay. Your book. You're gonna have to tell us about this book. What's it called? How do people get hold of it? How much it cost?
The book is available on Amazon, on all the Amazons across the world. It's $14.99, I think it is.
Yep, that's what I've got down here. Our researchers, our New Sound Radio 92 FM researchers, and they say $14.99 they've come back with.
There you are. You can also get it at the Newham Bookshop.
Newham Bookshop. That's probably the best way to do it. We like to, here at New Sound Radio, we like to support the Newham Bookshop.
And Vivian down there, she's been very good to me. She's been promoting that book well, and she's selling lots of copies. I think she may still have some signed copies if anyone wants a signed copy down there.
Right, okay.
And really,
is it on Kindle as well?
I've got it on Kindle.
A lot of people read books like that.
And I'm hoping that I've actually had since the book's been released, I've actually been contacted by more relatives who are bringing me more photographs, more stories. So I'm actually going to have to do an updated, revised edition, hopefully in time for the centenary of 2014. So.
I'm just thinking, there could be someone out there who's listening now who's thinking, well, actually, that was my grandfather or my great-grandfather and things like that. Is there something, because have you got some sort of way they can contact you as well?
I've got my blog.
Okay, yeah.
So if you just type in West Ham Pals into Google, you'll find on the first return, you'll find my blog.
Okay, so that's one word, West Ham Pals, yeah?
Yep, just type that in. Okay. You'll find me. You'll find the blog. And on there, I've got lots more information about individuals, about things that were going on in, you know.
Yeah, I had a look through it. Yeah, some really interesting stuff. Some of the photos are fantastic as well, aren't they?
They really are.
Like cartoons and things.
As an example, I recently got, I received an email from someone in Canada, and it was a lady whose 11-year-old son was just doing he's doing a project at school on World War One, and they fancied typing in his great-granddad's name, found my website. And in that way, I've been able to help him with his project.
Yeah, it's fantastic. All that sort of thing. There's lots of things in it. Mm. I tell you what, we've got to go to the break now, yeah? But I tell you what, one last thing. Yeah? If there's one reason, one thing that's drawn you, because obviously you're very passionate about this, you put a lot of time, a lot of energy in there. What do you think is the one thing that's sort of really drawn you and made this very special for you?
It was the idea that they had more or less become forgotten. No one knew. Even West Ham fans they had no idea that there was a West Ham battalion. They had no idea that their battle cry was up the Amers. It had been forgotten. No one knew. Even the council weren't aware of this unit. And I find that thing probably the saddest, really. These guys went off and fought for, you know, civilization against aggression. Mustn't be forgotten. The Germans wanted to take over the whole of Europe at that point. You know, these guys stood up and defended their families. And their efforts really had been forgotten. That was the reason behind getting the memorial. I think it's very important that their efforts are remembered, really, their sacrifices.
I'll tell you what, people do know about it now, and that's the important thing. Okay. Elliot Taylor, thanks for joining us on New Sound Radio 92 FM. But you will stay, won't you? After the break, we've got a special report, which actually ties in with this as well, about West Ham's move to the Olympic Stadium. Let's see if we can find out about that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, stay tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM.
To advertise your business on...